Welcome to Her Bro, His Sis, a podcast hosted by sibling ministers discussing topics of faith and family.
Well, I'm excited. I know it's been barely a month, but I already miss you. I missed you like your presence, but I am so united in this way to be able to at least do this together again.
Yes. Yes, and we're halfway through the year already, so it seems like we just started this year, and time is flying. We're already about to be 2024, and it's like, man, where are we going with this? It's been such a full season as we talk about these, and I'm grateful that, like you said, we have these opportunities just to be able to talk about just the disciplines of our daily lives, right, as believers, and just to be able to have broken these topics down has been wonderful. But what do we have going on today?
Today we kind of have like a follow-up to the silence and solitude. So we're going to be speaking about seeking and soaking. And I know they're two things that go together. It really wasn't intentional, but I feel like they're things that go together, just kind of like silence and solitude went together hand in hand. This is a subject that goes together hand in hand. So just off of hearing those titles, like, what does it put you in the mind of seeking and soaking?
Taking a bath, actually.
I mean,
that
can apply.
Yeah. And I mean, you know me, I'm just kind of as a very illustrative person. You know, a lot of my comments are going to kind of, you know, go in that vein because I when we talk about things that can be considered deep in some respects, I mean, it seems like a very simplistic topic, but I really want to kind of, you know, as I think about it, think about, you know, what are things that I soak? When would I soak things? And it just kind of just makes me think very illustratively in this topic. Like you said earlier, you know, we talked about, you know, meditation beforehand. We talked about silence and solitude. So, it's almost kind of seems like it's a continuum, but at the same time, it's something very different as well. That's kind of what it takes me is just to have a mental picture of what it means to seek and soak.
So I love that because when you said that, the verse that came to my head is being washed with the watering of the word. And so in a sense, that's kind of what we're going to dig into a little bit today. This has kind of been in my spirit for like a couple of months now anyway. So just because we're now like talking about it here, it's been in my heart for a very long time prior to today. So one of the things probably for about 5 weeks that I feel like has been constantly brought before me is the Jeremiah 29:13 verse that says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I love how it says you will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So you'll only find him when you're seeking with all of your heart. And I just kind of want to start this by sharing some of the benefits of seeking and soaking before we really get into like, what does it actually mean? And then the meat of the three things that I really want to pull out with this. So benefits of seeking the Lord, obviously seeking anything, you are going to find what you look for. So whether that be the Lord, good things, if you're seeking trouble, you'll also find trouble. You know how we used to have friends back in the day at school, or you'd hear about children in the neighborhood that were just the bad kids. They're always looking for trouble. They're going to find what they're looking for. So that's kind of the same sense that God is saying, like, when you are genuinely seeking me, you are finding me, because God is not playing hide and seek with us to hide away from us and not be found by us. So he wants us to find him. He wants us to apply the energy and the effort that it takes to really be looking for him. The other thing with seeking is you will grow closer to God. You're going to grow deeper in your relationship with him, and your desire for him enhances. Because when you seek knowledge, for example, on a subject that you enjoy a lot, so it can be an educational subject, it can be a field of hobby that you like a lot, just an interest of something that you like in the natural world that's not even a spiritual thing. When you're interested in that knowledge and information, you immerse yourself in seeking that type of knowledge so that you can grow in as much information that you can be, basically as much as you can contain about that subject. So if you like trains, if you like cars, if you like anything, collecting things, if you like sports, you're going to seek the things that would help you to acquire more information and knowledge on that thing. And then the benefit of soaking was you feel more peaceful because you said when you're taking a bath, you're soaking in Epsom salt, you're soaking in the warm water, right? In a hot tub, you're soaking and it feels great. So you're, how can you like fight against that when it's literally inviting you to be at peace in that moment? And then you receive inner transformation without noticing it because it allows God to work on your heart. So it's one of those things that like when we talk about seeds and the maturation of seeds, like you plant a seed, but you don't literally watch it grow every millisecond of every day. You walk away, you go on vacation, you come and go, and you can look at it for a week and it not sprout above the ground, but underneath the ground and underneath the dirt that you can't see, things are happening down there. So it's just kind of like even with you, as you begin to soak in the Lord, in the water of his word, in the presence of God, allowing his spirit to do the work on the inside of us, allowing his word to do the work on the inside of us, then you start changing because the Bible says that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So when we soak in him and the things of him, we're going to start changing without even noticing that we've changed necessarily right away. And then you'll become more aware of God's presence. And then you have more to give because he fills you up. So it's a way that he replenishes you. So just off of the benefits, like what, you know, stuck out for you or like what feedback do you have concerning just those things as we saw?
Yeah. So just like last month, you said your very first point was my very first point. So I love it. So thinking about seeking, is I love how you said that, you know, you're going into search of something and you said that, you know, you don't search for things that you're not interested in. And that's exactly the same thing that I put down is that, you know, when I seek something, you know, it's because I want to find it. Right. And so, you know, I don't know if it's the best time right now to go into what I wanted to say, because I really want to hear what you have to say as you get into it before I make this point. But as I think about that, is like, at the end of the day, you want it, right? Like if you're seeking God, it's because you want God. Yeah, I'll be brief because I want to say what I got to say because I want to get that in there. And then on soaking, you know, I like how you said that, you know, you're just taking it all in. And so I just wrote, you know, basking in the ambiance. You know, like when you take a bath, like, you know, you usually got the candles and all that, and you set that mood. And so it's just different. And obviously, you know, it's when, and I think you'll probably get here, but when I think about the difference between like taking a shower and taking a bath, one is very quick and brief. And it's just like, I just want to rinse off and get in and get out. Right. You're doing the same action, right? Because you're cleansing, but just the way that you do it when you soak is just, it's another level. Right. And so, just in terms of being brief about the benefits. Yeah. Just love the fact that, you know, we just pause and we just sit there and just allow the presence of God to just be the presence of God. So I'm gonna reserve the rest of my stuff because I know I want to let you get in and go where you're gonna go before I say some stuff. But yeah,
well, I often praise God of like the twinness that we share because I never know what you're gonna say, but like there's always a way that it sets up for the next thing that's going forth. And so the thing that you said that you didn't even know what you said was about the shower versus a bath. And so I'm gonna just give the definition of shower bath. Thing that you said. So
tell it. I got my pen, so tell it.
The seeking first is just pretty straightforward. Like when you're seeking for something, you're basically just going in search of it and you're trying to acquire or gain something. So that's pretty straightforward and very simple. It's seeking something, looking for something, and that's it, right? Soaking is where we get a little bit deeper. So I'm gonna just throw this out here and then I'm gonna address the shower part. So number one, become saturated by or be immersed in, consumed with, deeply felt, engaging, arresting, catching the attention, impressive, noticeable, prominent. So saturated means you're made thoroughly wet, you're drenched. Immersed is you're plunging into something that surrounds. You're engrossed, you're fascinated, you're intrigued. To plunge, you're casting yourself into, you're diving in. To take the plunge is to do something, especially after a period of hesitation and uncertainty. So all of these things, just like you were saying with the shower and the bath, the shower is like, let's just look outside. An example, like this week it's been off and on rain outside. rain showers. If you're outside or if you're in your bathtub and you're in a shower, it's basically like everyone that's out there is just getting wet, right? But it's not necessarily a voluntary, you know, like if you're using the outside like rain, when it's raining and you're getting wet, like it's everyone's getting rained on. When you go in the shower, you're doing it for the purpose of quickly getting clean because you just know you don't want to, you know, that's hygienic. So if you care about hygiene, you're just going to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
The people who want to go deeper, though, are the people who are setting aside time to bathe and be saturated and immersed in so that they can be consumed with and deeply feel and engage and be arrested. Okay. So those are the people who want to go in. Those are the people who want to be in growth. Those are the people who want to get into something. And I like the fact that they said, you know, we always say take the plunge. That's kind of a cliche statement. But the piece of that that says, especially after a period of hesitation or uncertainty, even with the Lord, when you take the plunge, you're still taking the step to soak in him. So it's a decision, a personal decision that you're making. Like, I'm not just going to get wet, like, you know, sprinkled here, sprinkle there, Sunday service, sprinkle here. We all took a shower on Sunday. Oh, we all took a shower at Bible study. We took a shower. But going in, taking the bath because I want to sit and soak in this word, that's an extra time that you are setting aside to get in there. So we all shower weekly, however many days a week that you're showering, however many times a week you shower, but how often are you physically taking a bath? That's something that you set aside special time to get in there and be saturated. So what's your comment on that?
Can I add something? Yeah. So, because again, like, and that was just my illustration when I think about soaking, because like when I take a bath, I'm sorry, when I take a shower rather, is it's probably just soap and shampoo, right? That's really just all I'm probably using at that particular point in time, you know, some body gel, whatever the case is, whatever your cleansing agent is, if you will. But when you take a bath, like you add so many other things, like you talked about the Epsom salts and all these other things. So you're going deeper in a natural sense, but when you think about that spiritually speaking, like what else are you adding to the table when you actually get it in, right? When you're soaking, when you're like, man, I'm gonna meditate on this particular situation. And so my definition for soak actually was marinate. and so basically, like, I love how you broke down the word, you know, to become saturated or be immersed in, because now when you're taking a bath, you're allowing the soaking agent to have its intended purpose. So it's breaking down whatever it is that you're doing. So you're not just like, okay, I'm just gonna wash off real quick. It's just like, you know, we go to the bathroom, we wash our hands and it's real quick. But when you actually, like, you know, you're getting it in, you're doing all that, like that's what you're doing when you're taking a bath. And so you're allowing the Lord, which is the soaking agent, to have his intended purpose. Like if I just stop and just rest here, like what is supposed to happen when I'm actually thinking and consciously processing being cleansed, you know what I mean? Like we take a bath almost like, I'm sorry, we take a shower almost like routinely. Like it's just Monday. Like this is what I do. Like you said, like we need to be cleaned. But spiritually speaking, do we know that we need to be holy in such a way? Like we know we need to be righteous. Well, do we know we need to be holy? Like that's a whole nother situation where like sometimes we treat holiness as though, like, again, and we've talked about it in times past, like people say holier than thou. Like, we all know we're supposed to be righteous. So, you know, we get it in the shower. But, like, when you soak, do you realize that, like, beyond righteousness, there's another level of holiness? You know what I'm saying? That, like, this is where you need to think about what it is and let that soaking agent have its intended purpose. Because, like, we can put seasoning on meat and it's going to have that flavor. But when you marinate it, like, that has identity. Like, now this is lemon chicken because I just let it sit in lemon juice for 5 hours versus just, oh, I put some lemon salt on the top. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between when you just season and when you marinate. So, I'm gonna stop right there.
Like, all right, now. Okay. All right. I'm gonna play you. All right. That was good.
Do what you gotta do.
So, my first point.
Do what you gotta do.
In the core, I have three points that I kind of just want to throw out here, and then I'm going to share some just like practical application about seeking and soaking. But the first thought, so these three things are going to be thought questions. Are you seeking self or are you seeking the Savior? And we're going to look at Luke 11 verses 5 through 10. And it says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread because a friend of mine has stopped here while on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Then he will reply from inside, "Do not bother me. The door is already shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though the man inside will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of the first man's sheer persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So this kind of is just like a picture of what I already said, whatever you're seeking for, you're going to find. And in Matthew 7, we won't go there, but you can look on your own time. Matthew 7, 7 through 11, it gives another example of like when a child asks for fish, will you give them a stone? That men will give their children good gifts because they asked of them, right? So this is just, again, just like addressing the persistence of the search or the persistence of what you're pursuing. So the man didn't just stop just because the friend did not say yes immediately, right? And this wasn't a stranger, because he says, this, suppose one of your friends comes to you at midnight. So this is someone you know, and someone that clearly knows you, likes you because you're friends. Coming to you at an inopportune time, and your friend tells you, "Bro, look, I'm tired. Don't bother me right now. Like, you should ask me like at 10:30. Like, why didn't you call me at 6? Like, none of that."
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's not the point. The point is, he is your friend. And he's asking you. It's not a matter of when he's asking you. He's asking you for this thing. So he's seeking you, right? Because there's a relationship there. Father, you're doing this all on your own by yourself. But there's a relationship there, and he's seeking something from someone he has a relationship. But because the friend said no, he didn't just take no, because he's like, we have a relationship. Like, I know he's bothered right now, but like, I'm just going to keep being persistent. And he did. And because of the persistence of the friend, it's not like the verse says that because the man changed his mind, the man got tired of this or this and that. He just said, because of the persistence, he gave it to him. He didn't think about, oh, this is my really good friend. Oh, I've known him for 25 years. Oh, you know what? Like, if it was me, he didn't do any of that. He's just like, the man won't leave me alone. And it's midnight and I want to go to sleep. So he's being persistent. I'm going to give him what he asked me for. So God is simply saying, are you going to seek and ask of me? Are you going to knock on my door? Because remember, I am the door. John chapter 10. Mm-hmm. I am the door. So if you seek, if you ask from me, I'm going to give you what you're asking for of me. And mind you, this isn't, Lord, give me $1 million. If you're asking God for anything, it's going to be according to his will. So if you're asking in his will, he's going to give you the things. So again, we always quote this thing from James. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom. Do you think you're going to ask the Lord for wisdom time and time again and him just not give it to you? He says that he's going to give it to you liberally, and he's not going to hold back. He's not going to rebuke you for it. He's going to upbraid you not. So if you knock on him and he is the door, do you think he's going to stand there and just let you be outside? Like, these are the things that we have to understand that his word is saying. So if you're seeking him, he's going to let himself be found by you. But your persistence is what has to be the key. And so the previous passage, if you look at this section that we were looking at in Luke 11, shows the disciples asking the Lord to teach them how to pray. And so if you backtrack in that passage was led into by the previous chapter where Mary and Martha were receiving Jesus into their house in Bethany. And Martha, at this point, she was too concerned about what she had to do to serve God. And she complained that Mary, her sister, was not helping her, but that she was instead sitting at the feet of Jesus and soaking in his presence, right? But if we look at 10 and 42, what it says in verse 10 and 42, Jesus replies and said, "There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So even this is like, what are you seeking? In the following, like the previous one, it says the disciples were seeking the Lord and asking them to teach them how to pray. So they're seeking that. And of course, God is going to respond and give them that answer. Prior to that, we see the situation of Mary and Martha. So if Jesus is literally in your house as a visitor, do you think he's more concerned about you making all this meal and all this fanfare? Like, yes, he appreciates the hospitality, but like at the end of the day, like he has said, I have meat that you know not of. So I'd rather eat the food that's being fed to me, the bread of life, the living bread that he is. So I know that's a lot in one nugget, but what do you get out of that whole like section of what I just put out there?
Really, just going back to your title, you said, are you seeking self or seeking the Savior? And all three of those passages allude to different, the verb itself is different, but all of it is pointing back to them looking for Jesus. When the disciples said, teach me how to pray, the seeking is in teaching, right? So they're looking to learn, right? And then, you know, in the Mary and Martha, where it says, Mary has discovered it. So she was looking for Jesus. And so I like how you brought all of those, and the fact that they're like, you know, in sequence, I think is even more profound, just to kind of cement to getting to now that last passage. But I want to bring up just a companion passage in the same thing, because I saw a lot of the same similarities, even in the passages I was looking at. And this is just John 1, 35 through 42. And this is when basically the disciples are sitting there and they say, hey, behold the Lamb of God. And Jesus looks at them and said, what do you seek? Just upon looking at him, he immediately asked them, like, what are you looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? Now, Rabbi is translated teacher, which means, again, they're looking to learn something. And so they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And that staying to me now is like the seeking and soaking. So he said, what are you seeking? And they said, where are you staying? Almost as that they wanted to be with him. They wanted to abide in him and be in his presence. And he said to them, come and you will see. So they came to and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day for about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and then Jesus, obviously, this is the point, is he changes his name and says, you are no longer Simon, but you're going to be Peter. What I love about that passage in light of what you read is the exact same situation occurred, is they called him teacher, or they wanted to be taught something, and they found Christ. And so your title was, are you seeking self or seeking the Savior? So they found the teacher, or they sought the teacher and found the Messiah. So they ended up finding that salvation. They found that hope. And it might have not necessarily been what they thought they were looking for, but the fact that they found him and him alone, being in his presence, changes everything. And the fact that the end of that passage ends with him basically saying, you're now the rock on which I'm going to build the church. After seeking me, now I'm filling you with what now your purpose becomes. So I just love the fact that when you don't think about the things, when you don't think about yourself, the Lord allows you to be what he needs you to be when you look for him. So that's what I saw in all of those passages.
So I'm going to add that, because this is something I absolutely have loved for many, many years, but it does apply, because you use the word abide. And I wrote that like right before we started doing this. And abide in Greek means to continue, dwell, endure, be present, and remain. And I'm 15. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father's vine dresser. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. If you keep reading, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you don't soak, abide, dwell, and remain in the Lord, you can't bear fruit on your own. You literally can't. And then it says, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing.
Nothing.
In God. Like, this is an absolute requirement, because anything you try to do apart from him, it's vain. It's literally vain. It's like, except the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. Like, they that build.
Yeah.
You can't do anything, especially for God, or even in the name of God, or in the look of God, and think that you're doing anything if he's not in it. So we have to abide in him, and we have to be willing to soak in him. But again, if you remember, that seeking will deepen your desire, your desire, and how we often talk about the delight in God, that will enhance the more that you seek him. So if you don't have that right now, or if you would like that to develop, you have to do this in order for it to develop, because it's not going to just come out of thin air. You have to start doing it to grow to enjoy it. Next point. Are you soaking in self or soaking in the Savior? The other thing that I kind of like added a different alliteration for to make this, I really didn't try to do this, but this just craftedly came. Are you wallowing in the world or worldly cares? Or are you wading in the water of the world? Word. Like I just said, you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So are you wallowing in the worldly cares? Or are you wading in the water of the word? So, you know, this makes me think of the parable of the sower, and I have a series that I often teach about. So I absolutely love this series of the sower, but I'm not going to give all that today, but I just want to allude to it. The part that particularly points to this topic, though, is the seed that falls among the thorns. So when I say, are you soaking in yourself or are you soaking in the Savior, this seed that falls among the thorns, if you look at the version of it that's in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, that's where I'm kind of referencing right now. The seed that fell among the thorns was the seed that fell around the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in. It choked the word and it became unfruitful. If you read the version in Luke 14, it says the seed among the thorns was choked with cares, riches, the pleasures of life, therefore bringing no fruit to perfection. So if you dig deep into that, the word choked was in both verses, and it means that it was drowned, it was soaked, drenched, and covered, engaged self deeply in and strenuously to drive something out, to cause a sound to not be heard by making a loud noise. So if you see, water is involved with each one. So whether you're soaking in yourself or you're soaking in the Lord, water is involved in either one. So you can either be floating atop water, you could be swimming in or sitting in like a lazy river type of a situation, or you can drown, which clearly is not a good thing. Mm. You can be soaking and covered. And usually when you hear the drenched type thing, I'm soaked, I'm drenched, that's usually not a positive thing when you're saying I'm soaked. So we could be soaking in ourselves or soaking in the Savior. So if we're soaking ourselves, then that's the one where, man, I'm soaked, I'm drenched. But if I'm soaking in the Savior, like I am soaking in the presence of God, like I can't get wet enough, I can't get drenched enough, I can't be immersed enough, right? So it's two different things of the same word. Covered and surrounded in that negative connotation is this space, but surrounded in the Spirit, in the presence of God, is the positive. So again, I'm trying to go back and forth to vacillate to show the difference. When we are choking, we are engaging ourselves deeply in or strenuously in something that clearly we should not be engaging in strenuously. So like we're basically driving something that we really shouldn't be applying that much effort to, because we're probably avoiding something else that we should be. To drive something out, pretty much self-explanatory, you're driving something out that you want to like consciously either take out, not receive, all this type of stuff. And then the last one was to cause a sound to not be heard by making a loud noise. So you yourself may not be the one making the loud noise, but you can surround yourself in such an environment that you're drowning out what God has said and the things that God has planted in you, that sound drives out the sound that God has put in. So the final thing I want to say before I turn it to you is James 4:7-8, which says, so submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So this is really, you know, like when we talked about the what would Jesus do, what would James do, that whole WWJD episode, then the WWYD episode. Y'all can go back to the playback on those. But this is kind of like what we really need to examine, because that parable of the sower, we all fall into one of those categories. Wherever the seed falls, whenever we read that, the seed is the word of God. And the soil that it falls upon is the condition of our spirit, the condition of our heart. So we have to, when we're reading that, when we're hearing that, we have to see which one of those conditions do we fall in. Because the only one that's positive is the one that fell on good ground and it reaped a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100. So if these things were the thing that happened, because it said one, immediately came the devil to snatch away the word that was sown in the heart, right? So they're not the one. The other one was the word fell and the person was like, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that was great, everything. But then when the trial or the test because of the word came, then because their faith was unbelief or what their faith was shallow, they had no root and therefore they did not bear fruit. Here we are with the third category of the people who have cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. So how can you examine yourself in an honest question to admit like, hey, I have cares of the world. And what cares this world is, what is weighing your heart down? The Lord invites us, cast your cares upon me because I'm the one that will take care of all those things for you. He's not just saying, because I care about you, just tell me everything that you care about. No, I will take care of those things for you if you give it to me. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Believe in God. You know, like give it to the Lord. You can't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has its own things to worry about. Don't even worry about today. He really says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, because what can you worrying about something add to your life? Your worry won't change a situation. So cares of this world are things that you're weighed down. You're worried about just anything that is going to cause your heart to just be like not trusting in God or just so concerned that it's as if it's your burden to bear or your thing to fix. Deceitfulness of riches, self-explanatory, like you're more concerned about the things and having things and the pursuit of the blessings and the having of the blessing. And then less of other things. It's just really wide and broad. You can just want recreation. You can want other things and just be so distracted. And kind of the whole point of why we're talking about the disciplines is so that we can settle our minds down and get to that point where we are not as easily or quickly distracted by things. We know that we all, or most of us, live busy lives. We have families, we have jobs, we have priorities, things that need to be done. But God is paramount. God is like foremost. But He doesn't always get the place in our active life as far as the disciplines are concerned. And when we reorder that and put Him first, then when we begin to do all those other things, it starts, you know, feeling a lot better, looking a lot different. But we always kind of put God last. And when we tend to put God last, that's when it's like He gets the leftovers or whatever energy we have left, or that's not how it should be. So our whole reason for doing this is to kind of give us food for thought, examine and evaluate ourselves, and then see how we can reconstruct our ways into the right order, right priority. So that's a lot, but what do you think, Phil? What's going on?
Yeah. No, very good. And I don't know if I'll add much to that other than I just want to bring out something that spoke to me. Because you actually paralleled the very same thing that I probably would have pointed out initially, is that they both have water. And so when I thought about the water of the word, the way that you initially worded it was that that was just a constant cleanse. Like it was just something that you're always in the water as long as you're in the word. And so the scripture that comes to my mind is Colossians 3:16, which is let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the fact that, again, going back to kind of that abide scenarios, you're soaking in the word. And so you're wading in that water. But how you ended it, I love, because this, I want to meditate on this piece in my own personal time. But you talked about wallowing in the world and that being a choke. And you talked about weight. And so, again, my illustrative mind kind of comes into play, but I love this because when you talk about weight and being choked, is you're drowning. So it's a heavy weight when you're wallowing in the world. So when we think about like the things that, you know, and again, are you soaking in self? We think about ourselves a lot, but we don't understand the weight and the negative impact us thinking about ourselves all the time has. Because just like you talked about worry, like the Bible says, what can worry add to your life, right? So there's a weight that comes with focusing on things that is not our, that's not our burden to bear, right? And the Bible says, and you pointed out, you know, cast your burdens upon the Lord. So then that took me back to, again, your phrase is wading in the water. And I remember when we lived with Grandma Claudia, there was that wading pool across the street. I don't know if you remember that. And so when I think about a wading pool, I think about the fact that it's only this little bit of water. Right? And so just thinking about the fact that in a wading pool, so when you're wallowing in water, there's a weight and there's the potential to drown. When you're wading, there's no negative impact. There's no concern. Like, remember, we just let our kids be in there because, like, oh, it's cool. Like, you're not going to drown. Like, even if you fall in, like, it's only going up to your ankles, right? You know what I'm saying? And so I think about the fact that there's no weight in God when you're in the water of the word. So the fact that there was such a weight in the things that we're soaking ourselves in, if we would just focus on the Lord, as you pointed out, that there's no weight and there's no concern there. And so I love that play and that picture of just the fact that it's a waiting, because when the Lord says that upon me, you'll find rest, you should just be able to just sit in the water and just, like, you're in water, right? So you don't have to be all the way in. There's no concern. You're always going to be in me. And there's always that constant cleanse, because if you just rest there, you're always going to be connected to water. Which is the word, right? whereas, you know, when we think about all these other things, there's just so much that we consume ourselves by that we're going to be choked out by that. So that's really all I want to do is just kind of point out and highlight that. But I thought it was beautifully stated, all the passages that you brought out, and just a way to just kind of put that together. I loved it.
I'm just going to plug one more time the scripture that, you know, when we did the Vision 2020, it was kind of like the benchmark for the whole season, which was Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Because you talked about weight. Yeah. Dude!
That's right. Go forth.
I'm just going to go ahead.
I love it.
So even as I'm reading it, I keep getting stopped because verse one, therefore, since we are surrounded, okay, immersed, something that surrounds, right? So by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which so closely, and let us run with endurance, which we talked about, which abide means to endure the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, if we're looking unto God, then clearly we can't look anywhere else at the same time. The founder, the author, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'm just going to say this part for just because God just, like, really dealt with me in such a beautiful way the last couple of days when I was traveling. But one of the things that he, like, showed me that I really didn't even consider until he blowed my mind in such a way is when we look, we have two eyes that can only look in one direction at the same time for that reason alone. So you have two eyes and you can't look left and right. Like, your right eye can't go right and your left eye can't go left. Like, they both have to look in the direction that you're looking at. So if it's straight, you're looking straight. To look right, you have to turn your head to look right. To look left, you have a little bit of peripheral, but it's not like your eyeball shifted in the direction to see the periphery. It's literally, you can look one way. So when you look unto the hills for where you're coming from, you can only look up, but you can't look down at the same time. So I'm telling you, it was way deeper than this, but I'm just giving you a little bit of what God gave me.
Oh, you gave me enough. I know what time it is.
I'm just saying, when you're seeking God, right, you can't seek the world and the Lord at the same time. You can't seek yourself and the Lord at the same time. So you literally have to decide where you're going to fix your focus and set your eyes upon that thing. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I just love that, because when you said the drowning, that was the first thing that it said in that, the definition of choking was drown. And it wasn't because you're drowning because you can't swim. It can be you're drowning because you're weighed down. Like, you're just literally have so many weights upon you that you just sink to the bottom because you have things that you shouldn't have on you. Right. So I'll leave that alone, because we can be here for a while on that, but that was very rare.
We're going to have a sidebar because I had it written down, and as you were talking, the Lord was bringing some stuff out. We don't have time, so we need to get it in on that one. So let me give a smaller one then, because we can't go there.
Right now. Feel free. Feel free. I don't want to be free.
No. Romans 8:29. So, you know, everybody loves Romans 8:28. And you know me, I like to go either before or after or just keep it moving, right? Because we got to have that context. So Romans 8:28 is all things work together, right? And everybody knows that. So we're going to keep it moving. What I love about Romans 8:29 and how it connects to this is, you know, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. So I circled the part to become conformed, because when you said that we should look like Jesus, when we look unto Jesus, the goal of everything working the way that it works is because you're supposed to be something when you find Christ, right? So if you're seeking Christ, you better find the Messiah, because if he's your savior, what is he saving you from? And when he saves you, it says you're to be conformed to the image of his son. So I mean, when you find him, like, what is the goal and the point of being found, right? If you're going to look for Jesus, like, okay, if he says, here I am, what does that mean for you? Like, there has to be a goal to your search. So if I'm looking for my keys, it's because I'm about to get in the car and go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to just be like, okay, thanks for my keys. I just put it on the rack. Like, I'm about to leave. You know what I'm saying? So there's a purpose for me looking for what I'm about to look for. So if I look for Jesus, it's because he's the author and finisher of my faith. So that's why I'm looking. You know what I'm saying? So we have to understand the goal of why we look for Christ and why we're seeking. And I'm sure you're going to get to this as you close about the difference. And because you're paralleling, obviously, self and savior, which means that we're looking into one and not the other, which means what are we looking for at the end of the day? So I love that eyes piece, because like I said, I'm going so many different ways by you saying that, and I'm going to hold it for us. But that is so beautiful and so profound if people grab that, because you cannot look at two places at once. And that was, wow. Just go where you need to go, but I'm just floored by that comment right there.
So my final question is, do you savor self or savor the Savior? And you kind of alluded to that in the stuff that you just right now said. But I want us to understand when I say savor.
I skipped over because it was at the end of my notes and I jumped a little bit because I was excited.
What it means is to taste with pleasure, to delight in, or to enjoy. So do you taste the things of God with pleasure? Do you delight or enjoy the Lord? Or do you savor yourself more? And so the one chapter that has several verses that I want us to really just look at really just quickly is Psalm 34. And I'm going to read a handful of these scriptures because, like you're saying, what are we seeking the God for? Because, like, if you're looking for keys, there's a purpose to what the search is for. So this kind of addresses that a little bit in this passage. So Psalm 34, I'm going to start at verse 1 and read through 10 and then hit, like, three other verses. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. That's where we say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together in King James. I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. So I sought the Lord because I was fearful. I went to the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 17, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Verse 19, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Or many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. So this is to say that even when we go through hard things, it's not all about the positive, you know, things. Yes, we want to take a bath, a hot bath after a hard day or you know, just whatever has happened, right? We can take a bath when we're feeling good and things are going well too, but it's usually in those times that you really need, like your body is beat down, you're going through something. That's where you really need to dig in and seek the Lord. I'm not saying wait until you're desperate to seek God. We should be always in pursuit of him because God is pursued by us, right? But the psalmist here is saying, I will praise the Lord at all times. He first started out the gate saying, I praise God all the time, every day. I just want to let you know. I constantly tell of his praises. I only boast in God. So let that just be known off the top. However, let me tell you guys who are helpless. Those of you who are suffering in the realm of courage and bravery, take heart, have courage, don't fear. Here's why. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to praise him and exalt him and let you know why. And I love the verse, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. Magnify the Lord with me. When you magnify something, what do you think of? A magnifying glass. So you're looking at something that's small and you're making it bigger. So magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When you exalt something, then you set it above, higher above. So essentially, we need to be magnifying God above our situation, above the negative happening, above the things that we just talked about, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, all the other pleasures and things of that nature. We need to be magnifying God above those things, exalting him above that. Then he says, I sought the Lord, because he gives us authority through his word. And when I sought the Lord, he answered me. Why? Because in his word, he told me, ask and I will answer. Seek and you will find. Knock and I'm going to open the door to you. So on authority of his word, I sought him and he answered me. Not only did he answer me, he also delivered me from my fears, because when I sought him, I prayed to him about the things I was fearful of. I cast all my cares upon him and he took care of those things. He delivered me from all of my fears. Then he continued to testify that those who look to God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, will be radiant with joy. Because even going through, as James says in chapter 1, that what? Blessed are the men who endure temptation, because all the things that would happen because of us going through temptation, we're supposed to go through them. We are going to experience patience. We're going to experience joy. It's a good thing for us to do that. So go back to chapter 1, read all that. And then he says, no shadow of shame is going to darken your face. When I'm desperate, I prayed. When I was desperate, I prayed and God heard me. He listened to me. And guess what? I was desperate because of my troubles and he saved me from all of them. So this is how you have to read this, y'all. Like, again, it's not because things are going well. When things are not going good, seek the Lord. Stop vegging out on Netflix. Yes. Stop crying on the phone to somebody else, your neighbor who's not going to minister the word of God to you. Stop self-indulging. Stop savoring the things that are your fears, or savoring the things that you're going through that make you feel desperate and fearful and sad and not courageous, and the things that make you feel discouraged. Because if you think about the word discouragement, it means to take courage out of. And he's always saying, be of good courage. And when you get encouragement, someone's putting or attempting to put courage back into you. So therefore, he's saying, encourage yourself in what? The Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. When all the people turned against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So not to say the outside people can't help you, can't encourage you. You need to get to a point where you're turning to the Lord and you are able to encourage yourself or receive encouragement again from and in the Lord. Then he says, he is around all who will reverence him. Give him a chance, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then he continued to talk about the joy of those who take refuge in him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the noise of pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust, right? His truth shall be my shield and buckler. The whole Psalm 91, y'all, read the whole thing. But I'm just saying, this keeps connecting to something, right? It keeps connecting to
something.
So even young, strong lions sometimes go hungry, But those who trust in the Lord will lack what? No good thing.
No good
thing. Because he is our Father. He is our shepherd. And what did he say? You shall not want, which means you shall not lack, period. The things that you need. Because what did Matthew 6 say to us? Your Father knows that you need these things. So don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about anything. Because God knows what you need before you can ask. So turn away from evil. Good. Seek peace. Pursue peace. The Lord hears you when you call to him for help. He rescues you from your troubles. And he also guarantees that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, you will face a lot of troubles. We don't look forward to that, but it's part and necessary of our life as a believer and as a child of God. But he says, you will face many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue every time. Or in other words, he will deliver you from them all. So will you follow in those things, or will you savor the Savior and delight in him even during those times?
Wow. Well, I kind of jumped the gun on my final point, just about, you know, as you're savoring, you know, I brought up the, you know, what's the point, you know, because I think about, you know, what happens after you search, after you soak, you know, you're either going to give up looking or you're going to find what you're looking for. So you either just say, man, I'm on this search, you know, I'm trying to make sure I can find my keys. Okay. I can't find them. I'm just going to stop looking. So you're either going to give up, or you're going to be successful. And so once you get to that point, what happens? And so, you know, my mind, kind of goes to Colossians 3, where it says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, in this version I'm reading, the NASB says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So once you find the Lord, like you said, savor, you know, taste and see that he's good. Because he's good, stay in that vein. You know what I'm saying? It's not something, okay, you know, great, I found him. Like, now the intent, again, going back to that Romans 8:29, is the intent is to become more like him. That's an ongoing process. That's the whole point of the soaking is, okay, you're going to look for him, and now you're going to abide in him. So I love how they go together. Like you said, they are hand in hand, because once you seek him, now that's the whole point of now bathing. And so you get that cleansing that you need to be able to trust and have the faith that, okay, Lord, like, I am going to encounter situations. I need to have the mind of Christ when I go through these situations, because, you know, when you find what you're looking for, you want to hang on to it. You don't want to lose it, right? So if I ever find Christ, like, I ain't gonna let him go. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're saying taste and see that the Lord is good, like, I'm going to enjoy being in the presence of God. I'm going to maintain that as a regular discipline because I want the Lord, right? So if I'm looking for him and I find him, I want to make sure that I keep him. And so just to kind of end, my thoughts is Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So, you know, if you're seeking, it's probably because you desire, just as you said, or you delight in Christ. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be satisfied and they will be filled. So, yeah, there was so much, I think, that you brought out, and just a lot for me to just even take away as I think about being a student of all of this. It's just, it was just so filling to think about the fact that even though you didn't think about the bad situation, and it ended up being so much a part of your situation. So thank you for even just allowing that part to be expounded upon and your piece as well. It's so full, and I'm full, so I pray that everyone else is going to be just as blessed as I was just to hear that come out.
Yeah, glory to God. The final thing I just want to leave everybody with is just like a quick application of like soaking in the Lord. And I know that many people may be familiar with the soap application when it comes to like studying the Bible and stuff like that. So the soap method would be scripture, observation, application, and then prayer. So there's a soak application that I'm going to put out there. Mm. Is scripture, observation, application, and still kneeling in prayer. So you don't necessarily have to kneel, but it's just kind of like the K to make it fit for that. And so the scripture part is obviously read a chapter or verse, you know, whatever that might be. observation is what stands out to you when you read that passage or that chapter, and then application from that, how can you personalize it so that you can apply it? And then prayer, kneeling in prayer is the confession of sin, praising God, praying that passage maybe over yourself or whoever you need to pray it over for, and then asking God to help you apply that scripture to your life if it's something that you need to apply to your life. The other thing I could put is for soaking in the sun. So like you're talking about earlier, when we soak in the actual sun, we will sunbathe. You'll lay out in the sun.
Right? You go where I think you're going to go. I'm going to throw this pin right now.
I'm not going to go there because I want you to throw that pin. I'm going to let you do it. But so there's sometimes you have a wordless moment of worship where there's music playing that is just like, you know, ambiance music. You can actually have worship music, but you want to rid yourself of the distraction and invite the Holy Spirit. You want to listen to what God has to say. So if there are words that come to you, verses that come to you, pictures or anything, you can be journaling, you can be praying, and then you can just sit, you can stand, you can literally be in a posture of worship. And then you can just take time to reflect what God is ministering to you in that moment. So just whatever that looked like for you, just like, you know, how you had set up that whole bath ambiance situation to soak in that bathtub, you know, you want to soak in the sun and let God deal with you. And this can be creative. It doesn't have to be the same all the time, but just those are just some things just as a preliminary application for those who might be listening today and wonder what they can do with this as they hear this today. So what are your thoughts off of that so far?
So I thought you were going to go somewhere. And I was like, I tell you what, if you say that, because so when you talked about soaking in the sun and reaping the benefits of the sun, my mind immediately went to people who suntan or sunbathe. And when you do so, you're doing it with the express purpose of actually becoming something you're not without the sun. Which means when you get a suntan, you actually now darker and you want to change the perspective of who you are. And not to say it's bad. What I'm saying is that you're actually saying, okay, like, you know, I want to, you know, get my shade a little different. So if that be the case, that shade is coming from Christ, which means when you do so, you should now leave the presence of God more like God, because that's what you're actually now reflecting is him and not yourself. Girl, you brought that out.
I was trying not to go there. I mean, do you see these papers right here? I had all this stuff. I'm like, we can't be here for 2 hours. So I'm like, I'm not going to say that part. I'm going to let him know. But yes.
Oh, we're going to recap. Man, you're killing me right now.
I just have one last scripture before we close out. So if you have any other final thoughts, please.
I got nothing. unless you do it to me again, I'm trying not to.
I really do. Oh God. So the final verse I just want to share is Isaiah 55:6-11. And that is, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And just as the heavens are higher than the earth, oh, I think I already said that. So sorry, it printed twice. But we often just read that part about my ways are not your ways. They're higher than yours and stuff like that. But God, we need to read the part before we get to that. And so that's the part of we need to seek God. We need to change our way. Because again, every single one of these questions that I brought out is, am I seeking myself or the Lord? Are you seeking yourself or the Lord? Are you savoring yourself or the Lord? So seek the Lord while you can still find him. And that's what I'm just encouraging everybody to do. Like if you're not in a place that you're doing that right now, just seek God while you can find him. He is available to you. He is inviting you. He wants you to come to him. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. So he is literally saying that there are some things that you have to do. But call on him while he's near, and he's telling you to just get change your thinking. But the only way your thinking is going to get changed is if you immerse yourself in the word. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and our minds get renewed by the word. It's not going to get renewed any other way. So turn to God because he is waiting to be merciful to us all. and he will forgive generously. So that's just kind of like my final thought of this whole thing of just saying like, hey, I've given us so much material of how we can examine ourselves, of where we are in the condition of our heart. And if there are things that we need to abandon so we can seek more of God, we can just do that. And if it's things that we need to do so that we can feel comfortable and enjoy soaking in him, it's not like going to be a burdensome situation, be like taking a bath. Like in real life, when we take a bath in our bathroom, you know, it shouldn't be like a grudging thing for you to sit in your bathtub and enjoy a bath. We should be literally happy and delighted in bathing in God. So that's all I really wanted to say. And I hope that someone is blessed by what we've shared today. So you ready to pray?
Amen.
Father, thank you so much just for the invitation to seek you and to be found. Thank you, God, that you said that if we ask, that you will answer, that if we seek, that we will find, and that if we knock, that the door will be open unto us, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray for myself and for everyone listening, God, that, you know, if there's any areas that we need to be repenting of, if there's any areas that we need to be forgiven, God, we want to willingly just give that to you right now, Lord, and just lay it at your feet and ask that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and all self-orientedness that we've had prior to hearing this. You said that now we are clean by the word that you have spoken, and God, we receive that, we believe that, and we just thank you that you said that every day your mercies are new every morning and your faithfulness is great. And so, God, we know that this moment is a new opportunity for us to do right thing and to turn away from whatever we have thinking before this moment. And we can begin a new thing with you, God, and let you do your work in us. We're so grateful to you, Lord, and we just love you and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Her Bro, His Sis. Catch your favorite siblings each month as we talk to you, our family in Christ. Want to chat or just stay in the know? Catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Her Bro, His Sis.